Hey there, Lions fans. Randy and Rich here with you on
what's up?
The M66 North Detroit Lions podcast. Coming to you from East Jordan here downtown, where there's a new business going into an old building that is being renovated, which is nice to see.
If I remember back, it used to be a mechanics garage.
Yeah, mechanics garage for a long time.
I think a dry cleaners or a laundromat on the other side. I think there was some kind of counter office there too at one time.
A couple people tried a coffee shop there somewhat recently, and now it's going to be a brewery. Which is all the rage these days, and so that's great.
Back in the day, the churches were always complaining that there were more bars in the town than there were churches, you know. now the new bitch is going to be there's more microbreweries than there are churches. And
it is getting that way. Yep.
Yep. Nothing against the churches.
Nope, churches and gas stations.
Yeah.
Yes. Or if you're in Wisconsin, it's bars and
cheese houses.
Bars and churches and gas stations.
Cheese and maple syrup.
Oh, they all have cheese. Yeah. Everything has cheese. Yeah. They all have it. Yes.
And yeah. Well, speaking of cheese.
Lots of cheese.
Well, Cam Sutton.
Cam Sutton.
Some stinky cheese there. But
he has been released from the Lions.
Officially, as of about 23 minutes ago, it came over the interweb wire.
Interweb. It's a sad situation for him. We don't know. We know some details, but those are all reported.
There's enough people out there talking about that. So we're just going to, say, until he's had his day in court, nobody really knows what happened. And we're just going to, for right now, wish him the best. I hope they find him. And when they find him, I hope he's alive and well. Well, if he needs help, I hope he gets it, So.
Yeah.
It's
A
bad situation. So we're going to leave it right there at that.
Same goes for the woman involved, too. If she has every right to be in doing what she's doing. And
Maintain the privacy and just kind of. So we're just going to leave it alone. We got other things we can talk about. We don't need to talk about, the bad side of things. That stuff happens and just,
Yeah, we wish the best for both parties involved.
Yeah, and hopefully we got better things coming down the line for the Lions. They did officially release Cam Sutton today. So now the question is, does that change anything with the draft? Are we looking to draft a cornerback before we look to draft or anything? Or are we looking for another free agent?
I would say it doesn't change a whole lot for the draft. They're not just going to suddenly give up their thoughts to pigeonhole themselves into a cornerback in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't change anything. They have their plan, and I think if anything, the question is going to be is are they going to get any money back from the contract?
That is the thing.
Are they on the hook for the contract with any dead money?
Supposedly they're not,
but we'll see, because I don't know what the release that there's some clauses in that, but
yeah,
I think it might be, if he's not answering phone calls,
Well, that's the thing there. It appears the team had probable cause to release him.
Yeah, so I would say that money would probably get added back onto the cap.
You would
this
think.
Year or next year?
It would be this year.
I would think
he's
not
under contract for next year,
right?
And if they were probably voidable.
No,
years.
He had 3-year contract, and this was the second year.
Yeah, you're right.
Starting the second year, so You know, so, you know, what would be...
Supposedly it was $10 million added to this year's. I don't know.
Right.
And no, I didn't... It didn't say $6 million next year. It just said $10 million this year.
Right.
So I don't... And so, I don't even remember who tweeted it.
Well, so. I'm pretty sure that contract was pretty well front-loaded. So it's like, if they do get anything back, it's probably not going to be the majority of the contract.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think that's like probably the all guaranteed money... was erased.
Okay.
Is my gathering. So, and I think
it would be interesting to see how that's going to work out with adding any monies back into the cap, because, you know, that's a lot of cash.
Because that would avail you to another free agent.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
I don't think it affects the draft in that way, but it could affect getting one or two more in free agency if you want it, or even a safety at this point. Because
right, but they say we got about there's about $20 million I think right now in the cap, and that was like before Will Sutton. But
yeah, but you want to say Will? I want to say
or Cam yeah. Sutton. Yeah,
yeah.
But if the cap is where it's at, you know. Then you only need about $7 to $10 million for your draft capital. You know, depending on where you draft him, it could be up to 15. But I don't think so. I see it less than 10.
Yeah.
And so
if, yeah, being that late in the first round,
right? Exactly,
late in every round.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you know, I think with that in mind, you know, whatever we get, you know, from you know Sutton being released, it's it's just a bonus on top of that, because right now I would figure we got about $10 million to spend, you know.
Right.
So,
because I thought there was already a possibility of I don't know, say a third or fourth tier cornerback added to be a special teamer.
Well, they did bring a guy in last week.
Yeah.
The kid from Detroit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
But they didn't sign him.
They didn't sign him, and I was kind of wondering. I hadn't heard anything in the media about that and hadn't read it.
Because I thought it was a free agent visit, right?
Yeah, I think it was the workout free agent.
Okay.
I believe it, yeah.
That's what I was assuming or picturing or whatever.
But I think
that was already
Texans, I think.
That was like already in the works, right? That was before the Cam Sutton thing,
right? Yeah, that was last week, week before.
Yeah, and supposedly the Lions didn't know until we found out, you know. So, you know, save a few hours for Justin Rogers and stuff to, you know, get out there and
make a phone call.
Yeah. And that's some really interesting stuff that we're probably talking more about it than we wanted to.
But the
reporting on it was really top notch with Justin Rogers.
Yeah, it was class. They didn't you know speculate or jump on any kind of a mean streak or anything. But I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
So, in
free agency, the Lions with Tom and I talked last week about the moves they made with
DJ Reader.
Well, no, that's this week. But last week was Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson.
I think it's Roberson, isn't it?
No, it's Robertson.
You sure?
Yeah.
I heard a couple guys pronounce it Roberson.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've fallen trapped to that in... before in drafts due to typos, you know, in reading articles and stuff where Robertson's come up Roberson or whatever.
I think it was Jeff Iafrady on the Crunch, his new podcast.
Yeah,
Crunch
I've seen
Time.
A couple of those episodes too. Yeah. Yeah, but, so if guys are actually saying it, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's why I question Robertson.
Yeah.
But DJ Reader as well is my favorite free agent signing. You guys didn't get to talk about him last week.
Well, he hadn't happened yet. Yeah. We said he was our favorite
hope
guy. Yeah, you know, we're a little skeptical on Marcus Davenport, you know, as a defensive end. So for like, I'm curious where Davenport is going to play. Some I hear 50-50, like he's opposite Hutch and he's Hutch's backup, right? So
no, he'll play. I'm pretty sure he'll play opposite Hutch. And next
I'm not sure. I don't know if he gets that many snaps. You know, I don't know.
Well, who else are you going to put there?
Well, it's all about Paschal, right?
Well, that's supposed to Paschal be Paschal or Houston.
Well, Houston was always a situational pass rusher, and he's not an edge setter, right? So he's and I think he's kind of going for the same job as Davenport. You know, and I don't know.
Yeah, Davenport's a linebacker.
Who's going to drop back a little better, right?
Who's
going to drop back a little better? You know,
right? But he'll play opposite side of Hutch. You know, yeah, Hutchinson will be there, and then you'll have Aleem, and then you'll have DJ Reader, and then you'll have Davenport here, and there's your four man front. You know, it could be.
I mean, that is one way to look at it. That is what some people are saying, but others are, you know, saying other. Like, and Tom last week was he's a
5'2" guy.
He's a backup to Hutchinson, you know. And when Hutch goes inside, you got Hutch and Davenport next to each other. If Hutch comes out, not actually playing 97% of the snaps.
So he's playing behind Hutchinson. Right. They'll move it around a lot, you know. So they could end up opposite
sides. They could. Yeah. Yes.
But no, I know what you mean. You put Hutchinson inside, you put Davenport on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you rush those two guys from that side.
Right. Which is what they did a lot with Houston. Right. Right. And,
well, yeah, but now they'll have Houston probably over on the other side. Houston or Paschal.
The thing is Houston's ankle, maybe that does force him to the other side because he can't bend on that left ankle anymore. And he's better, you know, we'll have to see
how it works out because the last thing he needs to do is snap that fucker again.
Yeah.
You know?
And we already know they released him.
He's good inside too.
He's not on a rookie contract. Houston's on a 1 year,
right?
All the time.
Or not? So. I'm Paschal. I thought you were talking about Paschal.
No, that was
Paschal. Yeah. Paschal's had freaking ankle problems too.
Oh,
you know that's
he has been hurt, but he came into the league hurt, mm-hmm. right? And he's getting over that, and it stunted his growth. So he's expected to take that big step this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, in everybody's opinion.
To be your starting edge opposite Hutchinson.
Paschal was.
Yeah, yeah. Being the run stuff, the edge setter that you need over there. And it's like, no, you can't run this way, you know.
All right, that's where I'm getting it mixed up, all right, because you're right, he's a linebacker, he's playing the edge. So he's either going to play behind Hutch or he's going to be over on the other side behind Paschal.
Yeah.
Or whoever's starting on that other side.
Yeah, or coming in on an obvious passing down for Paschal.
Right, right.
And dropping back.
I get it now. I kept thinking that,
and that's,
that you don't have two defensive ends. You just have the edge guy. But that's basically a three-man front.
It's a five man,
right?
And you don't know which one of the outside guys is going to drop back, which one's going to jump in.
That's the hope. Yeah, I mean we've never had the personnel to actually make it work, but this is what this defense is about. Everybody come up to the line at once, and only a certain few fall off.
Yeah, right. And in the playoffs, and you know. In the first two games, I think they had a couple sacks from their safeties, and one of the safeties had two sacks, I think, and that was like the first time in NFL history that there had been that many sacks by safeties.
Yeah,
and so I don't know if that was by necessity or and it's an anomaly, you know, because it doesn't happen.
Right.
But it's you know, that adds to your deception of that five man front and who's dropping back, and then all of a sudden, oh shit, a safety, here comes safety. You know?
So you know, let's talk about Carlton Davis. From what I understand, he is the shutdown side of things. I mean, he said so in his press conference. I laughed at the guy. Take your fucking glasses off.
You know? I like the image.
Carlton Davis III. He came over from Tampa Bay, 6'1", 206 pounds, and a pretty damn good football player.
Yeah. Okay? That was supposedly being used incorrectly.
Well, let's hope he's not used in that manner here in Detroit.
Well, he was off ball, however you want to call it.
Was he the guy that Craig Reynolds took out, or was that Robertson? Robertson.
No, that was Davis.
That was Davis. Yeah, that was
Tampa Bay, right?
Craig Reynolds came out for the block herd around the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. That was on Carlton Davis III. So
yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Detroit, Mr. Davis.
Right? It didn't keep him from coming. You know, I get to face him every day in practice. Maybe he'll return the favor one day.
Yeah, well, let's not.
It'd be late in August. You know, when pads are on.
Let's not do too many bad things to each other here. But I like Carlton. I watched some of the tape on him. I don't think he's a total shutdown corner. As a matter of fact, I don't necessarily think he was the best cornerback on Tampa Bay's defense last year. But what I do think about him is if this regime wants him on the team and think they can turn him into more than what he's been, and from the way that everybody's talking about what he's been, and if they can improve upon that, I'm all for it, you know. And I have faith in these coaches. So, yeah, I believe they can turn him into somebody who's a little bit more serious than the guy I seen behind the podium.
Well, I had put him ahead of Sutton, you know, and I had moved Sutton to the left side and had Carlton Davis being the guy that would follow in number one. So Sutton would go back to flip to the side that Davis wasn't on, right? So Davis would be the dominant corner. And then Amik Roberson, whichever. Robin,
yeah, slot corner. Robert, I would call him a slot corner, you know, because.
But his best production has been on the outside.
And that freaks me out for being, what is he, 5 foot fucking...
For
what,
being AJ?
5'8" and 175 pounds.
Who's our defensive coordinator?
Alan, or AG.
AG, not AJ. AG, right? The same height and weight. You know, he's an AG kind of guy. He was a freaking great Raider. But I think he's going to make a much better Lion. And
well, what this is going to do is allow Brian Branch to play any fucking where he wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he is that,
I guess. Well, yeah. My point, I guess, would be is even without Sutton, you still have a one and a two in Davis and Robertson. And
well, yeah, you got quite a bit of guys backing him up. Remember, you know,
yeah.
Mosley was a guy that we were thinking might be the number one, you know.
Right.
If he's healthy, he probably very easily could be the number one.
Yeah.
He's number one.
And that's, I think, definitely a job between Robertson and Mosley, mm-hmm. Right?
Right. And we know Dorsey's going to probably be that Will Harris depth, you know, that Will Harris guy.
That'd be cool.
That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, who else do we get?
Will Harris is like a cockroach, man. He just,
he's
going to survive a nuclear attack. So
yeah.
Don't count him out.
No, not at all. So yeah, I know Manuel Mosley.
He's still hoping for good things.
He was a really good player. Yeah, I mean, you know, and then two freak accidents, snap, and both those. Where are they? Fucking ACLs.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's had both ACLs repaired, and from what I understand, that when they repair your ACL, it's repaired stronger than it was than what you were born with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got all the faith in the world. You know, if he tears these things again, yeah, his career is probably over. But
yeah, or if something else goes, you know, if you, yeah.
God, heaven forbid, the poor guy, yeah. You know, let right. him play some ball for a year, you know?
I know.
At least a year, you know?
But it's hard to pencil him in above Robertson at the moment.
He's got a one-year prove-it deal for $2 million. So, you know, it's a prove-it deal. So let it go. And it is what it is. And if you don't make it, you're not losing a goddamn thing, Rich.
Yeah.
Nothing. So did you know we had another, like a fifth running back on our squad?
Yes. You were saying that I didn't know, but I have heard of the guy.
Jake Funk.
Yeah. I remember him from the combine, last year?
Yeah, he's like 5'10", 205, you know. So, I did not know. I still don't really know of this guy.
How can you forget the name?
Well,
that's all, you know. I just couldn't forget the name.
There was no funk to go with the funk.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a guy that was running around my brain until the name was
no
said.
Funky with that funk, you know. So, no, but I remember Zonovan Knight because, oh, and by the way, don't call him Bam. He does not like the name Bam.
Yeah.
So
he got snaps, was on the team, and everyone, he was a darling there last
year.
He's
a hard runner, so that's, to me, is a Campbell guy. Like Craig Reynolds, he's a hard runner. He came out of the nowhere, whack, freaking Carlton Davis right in a freaking helmet. I love it, you know, so, Craig Reynolds, you know, undrafted free agent. Running back, you know, hardcore, hard player, hard runner.
Smart player, yeah.
Smart, yeah, and knows, does not quit. And I see Jake Funk being the same kind of guy. I do. But like I said, I know nothing of him. I will get back with you on that. But with a name like Jake Funk.
You had to talk him up.
You got to have some kind of funky in there somewhere.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So how about Jalen Reeves-Maben being voted in as the the Players Association president?
The NFLPA. Yeah, good for him.
Absolutely. Let you know that the Lions have another leader on their team.
Yeah.
Another proven leader.
So what else haven't we hit?
Kevin Zeitler.
Yeah,
we haven't hit on Kevin Zeitler, and I tell you what, other than DJ Reader, this is probably my second favorite.
Well, we didn't even hit DJ Reader yet, other than mentioning.
Well, I mentioned him a little earlier. Yes. He was my favorite. You know, free agent signing.
Both these guys were.
But brought in Kevin Zeitler, they just completely solidified everything. He's going to play the right side over there next to Panay and Ragnow, and then Graham Glasgow will move over to the left side where he's most comfortable at, I believe.
Well, that's where he started when he came to the Lions originally.
So that's where he'll be, over there between Decker and Ragnow. So to me, that's solidifying an offensive line right there. Bringing
beautiful.
Kevin Zeitler is 34 years old, but you got to remember, a lot of these offensive linemen don't hit their peak until they're 30, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to say how long he'll go.
They gave him a one-year contract. Yeah.
So, we're assuming that we're going to replace him in the draft.
Right, but he's
but he's solid, he's reliable, doesn't miss games.
What you'll see is they're going to pull Panay Sewell if they're going on their traps, and then Kevin Zeitler will protect the backside.
Right.
And because being 34 year old and 339 pounds, I kind of doubt they're going to put him out in front of us, some kind of, you know, swing play or something. They'll probably pull him, but it's probably not going to be, you know, for very far.
Right.
But who knows? You know, we'll see what he can do.
Yeah.
He, I believe he is now like the oldest guy on the team.
Pretty much, we'd have to see, and this is kind of nice because we were the second youngest team, right? Yeah. So they're adding some veterans here. And well, DJ Reader, this is a year they're going to. We got Kevin Zeichler.
This is a year we're planning on winning. We're going all the way this year. This is a
it's not necessarily
a must win year,
exactly.
But it is. Let's win. We're ready to win. This is it right now.
Yeah. Well, with what we've been talking about with the corners, right, and now we're into these guys. And we're talking this is four guys, and you think about last year with adding Sutton and Mosley. You know, is this just how they plan on doing it? Adding four or five contracts, you know, you add Davenport in there, five defensive 1 year contracts every year with some, you know, with some guys.
Well, let's see,
that's
the whole thing though. Yeah. When you're building your draft, building your team through the draft, you know, there comes these particular spots in a season where, you know, we're going to be better off to fill that spot with a free agent than we are, you know, you go as young as you can. But in Zeitler's case, you know, he was like the best available. He's going to work out very well with Detroit.
Yeah.
You know?
And then with the way the draft worked out last year and not getting Witherspoon, you know, it changed everything. And they adjusted, and now we have the team that we have, and they're still looking at corners, and they brought in two in free agency, and oh crap, we just lost another one.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Last year we brought in how many, and we lost three. We had three. We lost two of the three. CJ Gardner Johnson.
I didn't even talk about him. He's a safety, so I wasn't talking to him.
Sutton
I just said Sutton Mosley.
Mosley went down. Yeah, and then you know, hell, we had all kinds of problems.
And is this what they're betting on? You know, until. To get them through these 3, 4, 5, 6 years it takes them to find a corner in the draft and, you know, and develop them, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to take time, you know, and they missed out last year on Witherspoon. So is there a guy in the first round? Do they wait to the third round? Because I think if they miss in the first round, I think it's the second round, they're going to go a different direction. And wait till the third round at that point to get a corner.
I think what they got going on is, you know, I think, you know, if in the first round to me is if they don't move up, you know, if they stay at 29, they may be looking to move back. Because if they're going to move up, that's their guy. They're going to move up. They're going to move up to get their guy.
Yeah, and that's either a corner or an offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman or a cornerback.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
If they stay at 29, it's still an offensive lineman or a cornerback.
Right, but the thing is, though, is they might move back out of the first round and to pick up more draft picks for the second, maybe the third round. That's
right. And you know, then everything's on the table again for the first pick. You know, if it's a 33, 35, 37, you know, whoever, you can only go so far back.
Right, but to see, I see that from 29 that Detroit would move back with New England. They're like at number three.
See, that'd be interesting. If New England trades out of the third pick. And they trade up for like Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
Into the first round with Detroit. I can see Detroit moving back with New England into the second round. And that would, I think, would pick them up another second round, maybe this year, next year, and maybe that fourth rounder that we don't have, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe two this year.
It's such a... You know, it's like, what are the chances of that one scenario happening?
Right. Yeah. I mean, but you know, for some reason, that's That's a guess of mine. If they're planning on moving out, that's who I think. Because, okay, you know, New England don't have a quarterback. They really don't.
No, but, you know, there's other teams that don't either. And when you get into that, the Raiders, you know, because they're after Minnesota, you know, and Minnesota is supposed to be trading up to number 3 or 4.
Right.
You know, you get 4 quarterbacks, which I don't think has ever happened, right? Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 one year.
I don't know.
Either 1, 2, 3 would be big. It would this year.
1 through 4 would be crazy.
Yeah, but you know when did you know?
And then Penix or, but that, well, that's the thing. If New England trains out of 3. I don't know if
3 in the second round.
Well, no, if they trade out of 3, the 3rd pick overall.
Oh.
So you know, so they can trade up.
But you got to remember, though, too, there's a particular wide receiver in there.
Right.
That is, like, ranked really high. So, you know, if New England, you know how they always are with, I know it's all brand new regime over there, but they always seem to get that first round wide receiver.
Yeah.
They always seem to get that first-round wide receiver.
And
so, you know, for them to get that guy, they have to take them with him with number 3 if they want that wide receiver.
Right, so the trade-up
it would be for Bo Nix or whoever may be available at that time.
Right, and that's the thing. So if it goes quarterback, and they stay at number 3 and take wide receiver, then Arizona is number 4, and they probably take a wide receiver.
Yeah, because that's probably there's a.
Do they trade out?
This draft is loaded with wide receivers, you know. So it's like if there's a run on wide receivers in the first round, hallelujah,
right? Well,
hallelujah, you know.
Yeah.
Get them the hell out of Dodge.
Well, they say there could be 7 wide receivers in the first round.
Yeah, right?
You do that, you get. Six or seven offensive tackles, that moves
that offensive lineman or that cornerback that much closer to 29.
You
have to move back to get them if you have to move back.
There'll be 6 or 7 wide receivers. There'll be 6 or 7 offensive tackles. There's going to be 5 quarterbacks, right? So right there, you're looking at 18 picks,
right?
You know,
yeah. And so there you go. You know, and it's like, then you get a run on running backs.
Well, no, there won't be.
Now,
yeah, not this
I like
year.
To dream. Yeah. So you know,
there won't even be one in the there'd be like
offensive linemen. There'd probably be a run on them, and that's where I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah, because then you add a couple a guard and a center in there, so there's 2 more. It takes you to 20, and. 3 corners, 23, 2 edge, you're up to 25, 2 defensive tackle, you're 27, safety, maybe.
A linebacker.
Linebacker. Yeah, there's not a whole
defensive end. Never take a defensive lineman in the first round.
Tackle.
Yes.
Because really, that's another position that takes 3 years to really,
really
get in there. Look at Ali McNeil,
right?
And he was a 4th rounder.
Right, and Levi Onwuzurike, I mean, he's been injured and stuff, but I guarantee you this is his final.
They've both gone through body transformations.
This is his final year, you know, in his contract. So we'll have to see how he pulls through. If he kind of, you know, because... becomes that player that they've been looking for.
Well, he's Barnes a great is
another one.
Player.
He's just got it towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Right. And so linebacker, you know, they will they replace Pittman? We lost Pittman. Who else retired?
Teddy Bridgewater for
Teddy
one.
Bridgewater.
And then Big Hal, of course, Vitae. And in Romeo Okwara, this week. So
yeah, so you lose Romeo Okwara and you lose Anthony Pittman.
Yeah, Pittman went to Washington.
Washington. Yeah,
Washington.
Who's over there? Is that Lance Newmark?
It was Lance Newmark. Yeah, he went to Washington from Detroit after 26 years to be their assistant general manager.
Yeah. So that's cool. Good for him, and the hell with you for stealing our guy.
You know some of that stuff is going to come in because that's what those guys do, you know, okay. When they get started out in the business, okay, you know, his former team's going to do him favors,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, good luck there, Mr. Pittman. I hope things work out well for you.
Yeah, so there could be a linebacker coming up in the draft, you know, especially if they trade out of the first round to get some extra picks.
Right.
Then they can maybe find a there's not a whole lot of guys that can do that.
Anthony was a special teamer. He just was that's why he was basically on a team. He was
he was a career special teamer and an ace and actually started playing some defense and due to injury and stuff, and maybe we can get on the field more in Washington. That'd be good. He deserves it, you know. Let's hope his career can
get a lift. He's like a 5-6 year vet.
Yeah, you know, Wayne State grad was the.
He's been in the league for a while now, you know, and most of his career he's spent it right here in Detroit. So
all of it.
Yeah.
I don't think he got picked up in any point.
I don't know. Funny. He might have got injured 1 year. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Oh yeah, he's been injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they signed Scott Daly, the long snapper. He's back.
Yes, yes.
Returning from injury. And let's see who else we got here. Dan Skipper, 1 year eligibility contract. So
he's going to have, by the end of his career, have the most contracts signed by any player ever.
Really?
I think so. not the most money. But the most contracts.
They brought back the money badger too. You think they're going to draft a kicker still?
No.
Punter?
No.
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 I'm sure.
No punter. God no. Not a punter. We got Fox, but maybe they waste a seventh rounder on a field goal kicker, but right. I doubt it.
Well,
they'll bring in competition for him. For sure.
What they did do is sign Donovan Peoples-Jones. Right now he is our ex wide receiver.
He's our number four wide receiver.
Well, he's the big guy on the outside that goes up for 50-50 balls.
Sure, sure.
You know, and that puts him in the X spot. Not necessarily every play.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of times I see Laporta out there, you know, and then Jamel's out there, and then Jamel's in the slot, and then Jamel's over on the other side. And,
yeah.
You know, so they move this shit around, you know. So my question is, Brad Holmes does not necessarily do in the draft what everybody thinks he's going to do.
No.
So the scenario is right now, the scenario is that cornerback, offensive lineman. Well, what if he just kind of turned it all around, moved back, or didn't move back, but moved up to take a wide receiver?
Right. See, I've thought about that, and it kind of screws us for the second and third pick.
Tom's probably going right now, slap yourself, Randy.
Right. They won't do that again. Because if you, just for the way I see the draft falling and who's going to be available in the 63 and 79 right. or whatever they are, picks that they have.
Well, I was just saying that last year, you know, Witherspoon didn't fall through, so it's like, right. What did they do? They did what everybody thought they wouldn't do. They moved back and took a freaking running back, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, to go opposite this year of a cornerback or an offensive lineman.
Right. What would be the opposite?
Would be a wide receiver or another freaking tight end.
Yeah.
The best tight end in the freaking draft is
Brock Bowers. And he's only first round.
Like, there's not, don't think he first round, though. I think he would.
Oh, yeah. Fall. He's like top 10. No, he is. That's the thing. Okay. He totally, okay. They're saying Bears at 9.
Oh, well, good.
Which is fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a 12, 15, whatever. It's, yeah, he's a high first rounder.
I watched some tape on him. He's a good tight end. I seen him in the combine.
Yeah.
So and a couple of interviews on him. He's a pretty smart kid. So
yeah. So I would think he's out of our range at this point. I find it hard to see the Lions giving up what little capital they have
to move up and get a tight end.
To get that far, right. no matter what they're trying to get. I don't see him getting higher than like 20 or whatever, you know.
I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do, but I'm just saying there was a scenario out there for that.
Yeah.
You know, do they move up to take a wide receiver or do they move up to take a tight end?
Right.
You know?
I mean, maybe wide receiver, maybe it's at 20, right?
Right, right.
But I think the only tight end will be gone at that
point. I don't see him moving up any farther than 20.
Right. That's, you know, I don't
see him going up any farther than that.
Right. So if you want something that's plausible, it's not Brock Bowers at 20.
Right.
And that's the only tight end. So it would have to be a wide receiver if you're looking for something that's opposite.
Right.
And I don't think it's a linebacker. Maybe it's the edge player.
Right. You know, there's some decent tight ends towards the end, fourth, fifth round. There are some decent tight ends there that I think Detroit's probably looking at. We'll see what happens with that, because who knows how deep they want who knows how much more deep they believe their tight end department needs to be, you know?
Right.
And how
big of a gamble is Zylstra's injury?
Right, but what's it going to take to upgrade Zylstra Mitchell? Even Wright, you know, Brock Wright, you know. So what's it going to take to upgrade those? Do you need to upgrade from those guys?
Like Brock Bowers would be the way to upgrade all of them, you know.
I don't think Bowers is better than Campbell or
LaPorta. No, I meant, well, the ones you mentioned there in Mitchell and Zylstra.
Right. It would be a first round draft pick. I would hope they would be, you know, but you got to remember now, Brock Wright has the experience in that, and he's been playing that number one / number two spot now for his entire career.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brock Wright's not going anywhere. Brock fucking Wright is not going any fucking where.
I think maybe there's one tight end that goes in the second round, but I still don't even, the Lions aren't going to waste a second rounder on it, you know, because there's still, it's just not that important.
Right.
It would have to be a fourth rounder, which they don't have.
Right. Well, in a tight end, you're not going to get the speed that they're kind of looking for anyway, but you want a guy that runs a crisp route and knows how to block his ass off downfield and on the line.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you can get that guy in the fourth round.
I think Tom would be yelling at us to move on.
I think you're right. Yes. I think you're right. Yeah. Okay, Tommy, we hear you, brother.
Yeah. So, so then the other option there, the not opposite option, is offensive line in the first round, which is really kind of the hope at this point for me.
I think it's the bigger need. Okay, see what we did in free agency with the cornerbacks.
Yeah, well, it's just about what's going to be available, and it fits. You know, because
that your fifth year option for the first round pick.
Yeah, yeah. While it's still around,
and that's another point too we should make is if we move back out of the first round, we're giving up that fifth year option.
Yeah,
which teams need to pay for. You know. That's going to make that 29 spot more valuable probably than just a couple of second round picks.
Yeah, it's I just wonder how long the fifth year option will be around if the NFLPA tries to get rid of that whole thing, because it's, or maybe just make it for the top 10 picks.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I think it's just something just made to kind of, you know,
side topic.
Keep the cap under the cap, you know.
Yeah, it's just for the player at 29 that's not making as much money as the guy that got picked number five.
Well, yeah,
that fifth-year option for him, it doesn't make a whole lot. Right, they just changed it to where now it's fully guaranteed because of injury, you know, and so that's making it, trying to make it a deterrent for teams like, oh, wait, you know, maybe we shouldn't do the fifth-year option.
Well, see, that's why I think offensive lineman is a smarter move, because you're going to pay less money for that offensive lineman than you are for a top-rated cornerback.
Yeah.
Okay, and the same thing with a wide receiver. Yeah. The same thing with a running back, and, you know,
yeah.
The same thing with a left tackle.
But this year, if you're looking at the third or fourth corner off the board and the eighth offensive lineman, you know, then you're definitely weighing who's the better prospect and who's
right.
worth
you,
it.
You always want to go with the better player, and that's where you what Holmes has yeah. established so far.
And that's for me
is
keeping,
being able to take the best player available yeah. rather than drafting for need.
And if those are the numbers as you're sitting at 29, where do you trade up? You know, do you trade up to the fourth offensive lineman, the fifth offensive lineman, the second corner, 20, 23, 19,
well, that depends,
eight, you know.
That depends on the tangibles of your scale. You know, Brad Holmes has this particular scale that he follows, that if this player doesn't meet this particular criteria, this particular body type, this particular bend, this yeah. particular length.
It's also draft
stretch.
Capital, right?
Right.
What are you giving up to get there?
Right.
What do you have to give up?
But the thing is, though, you could probably find the guy that's perfect for your scheme in the fifth round. You know, not necessarily by his talent, but by his body style that you can use your coaches to develop this guy to be who you need him to be. And that's, you know, especially with a fifth-round draft pick.
Yeah, well, that's pushing it a little bit. I mean, we're talking first-round talents right here.
Well,
you know?
Well, the first round, it's just, you know, to me, it's like, you know, first come, first serve, you know.
Well,
if you don't do your homework, you're going to end up with a dud.
But we're talking about jumping up, you know, if they jump up, you know. And because there's only a couple tackles that I think are going to maybe fall, you know, like – there's Talize Fuanga, Troy Fountenou, Tyler Guyton. You start getting into those fifth, sixth,
right.
seventh tackles taken.
But right? I think it depends
and
on how the draft goes. Like we talked about, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round?
Right.
How many
Five.
Wide receivers are going to go?
Seven.
Okay. How do you know that?
Well, those are the talking points. As you know.
Well, I'm still saying is, you know, it's all going to depend on how the draft goes and to which plan Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell will take. You know, the guys are – everything's going to jumble along, but the first round's a free-for-all, you know? It's
it's when you're at 29, absolutely.
Yeah, but I can see freaking Holmes sitting back in his chair with his feet up on the desk with a big cigar in his mouth going, come on, 29. Come on, 29.
Yeah,
you know,
because I have no
intention of moving up whatsoever. Because right. we build our team through the draft, and when you move up, you have to give things away. You have to give away your draft, and I really don't see him doing it. He did that last year, but look what we got for it.
Yeah, exactly. He's done it a bunch, and that is the only thing about, you know, this draft right now is that. It's the first time we haven't had two first rounders to deal around with, and so we don't know what he's able to do.
He's probably got a list of
what is
he's got
what
probably
is
16
gambling or, notions are right now. You know, I feel like he's going to gamble less than he did the last couple
he's
of years.
He's got a
right?
I think he's got a for his first round. I think he's got a top 40 list.
Yeah,
and whoever falls is going to be the guy.
Yeah, because I just have reservations with 29. It's like, nah, I don't necessarily like the linemen that are going to fall to us there, and I think you can get a corner in the third round that's going to be a good press man corner, And guys like Kyrie Jackson, Andrew Phillips, Max Melton will be around there. He's a bit of a gamble with the inside-outside stuff, and but because he's smaller. But and that's something that Tom was talking about last week. Mm-hmm. He said he doesn't want corner in the first round, but there's a lot of candy there, and there's guys I like. I really like Cooper DeJean.
Well, just hold on a second.
He's got a broken fibia, and so does he fall. Right,
but the thing is, though, is the second round. This is a very deep class for cornerbacks. And sure. I guarantee you.
But like I'm saying, at 29, I don't like the linemen available. I think they're going to have to trade up to get a guy that I like, or else other guy I like will be available in the second round.
Well, like I said before, Rich, if they move up, it's to get the guy that they want. Okay, and if if that's the guy that they want, then I'm trusting in that. That's why.
Well, we're trusting in everything.
Which I'm not necessarily thinking, saying who it is, but I've got three offensive linemen that I want in the first round, and if I can't have these guys, then you know it's probably going to be a cornerback. You know.
Yeah, like for me, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Zach Frazier are really the only three interior linemen that I want. There's a couple tackles like that I mentioned that inside.
I got Christian Jones as my number one guy, you know, out of Texas. He's a tackle.
Yeah, we differ on him, but that's cool.
But Jackson Powers Johnson, yes, he would be my first choice of a guard, okay? Center guard, you know.
Because that's important.
But from what I understand, Zach Frazier is like the perfect fit.
Center guard, yeah.
Center guard is like almost a perfect fit out of West Virginia for Detroit.
All right. He's Oregon.
Frazier's
West Virginia.
Frazier, yeah.
Yeah, and Powers Johnson is
out
Oregon.
Of Oregon. Yeah. And Christian Jones is out of Texas. Now,
Graham Barton is from Duke.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, yeah, I had him written down too, but I didn't know what his last name was.
Okay, yeah, he's a left tackle, played center,
Graham,
guard,
Duke. That's all I had.
But he's 6'5", 310. He's a senior, and he was a captain.
Gotcha.
And so those are all things that's put him to number one on my list.
Okay, well, you know, I'm thinking about Decker, and I'm thinking about Ragnow, and I'm thinking about retirement, and I'm thinking Ragnow after this year. No matter what, is probably done because there's just nothing he can do with his foot, and he's probably just having enough. I'm just thinking after this year, I think Ragnow is probably going to retire.
Good,
yeah. Decker, on the other hand, you know, they're saying that he's
kind of an extension.
Yeah, he should, but they're you know, and Tom said, you know, shush your mouth with saying like that, you know. But they're talking about moving Decker inside maybe next year, you know.
Oh Lord, no.
And playing him at guard. Well, that's what I'm saying. Jackson Powers Johnson would be a great move, but we picked up that in free agency.
Sure.
Who did we
get? Zeitler.
Zeitler.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the left side.
Right side.
No.
Zeitler was a right guard.
Oh, yeah. Zeitler's going to be on the right side. Graham Glasgow is going to go over on the left side with Decker, between Ragnow and Decker. And so, to me, that's a solid line.
Yeah, it's a lot of this, you know, it's with the draft. Grant Glasgow has a multi-year deal. So now I'm like starting to think, well, maybe we are drafting a right guard, you know. Which was not really on my thought, you know.
Well, that's what I thought Sporstall was.
He is, yes.
Okay, so you know, this year it's probably a left guard, especially when
Zeitler's on a one-year. Has a multi-year deal, right? So it's a center tackle instead of, you know.
But the thing is, though, is you got to acclimate that guy to the NFL. So you bring him in, you play, he plays and learns behind Glasgow on one side, Swoboda on the other with Zeitler for 1 year.
Because
I think Swoboda's going to start next year.
Awosika? Swoboda. Who's Swoboda? That's like 3 years ago.
Nah.
Sorsdahl.
Sorsdahl. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Because Swoboda was an undrafted free agent last year.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's I got it mixed up. Sorsdahl, I think, is going to be your starter next year.
See, I just picture him as a good backup for the career, I hope. You know, but I'm planning for other things. You know, I'm planning for him to be just a good backup, and I'm drafting guys ahead of him.
I
see otherwise. Well, it's just my thought process.
The only thing in front of him is old guys.
Right. That's why we're drafting guys in front of him. Yeah. In my thoughts, you know, that's how I want left guard, right guard, center. Right. You know,
it all depends on the development. They're either going to develop. If they don't, they're gone. You know?
Yeah. It's like, cause like, obviously, you know, center is 2 years for me. You're thinking this is Ragnall's last year. I'm thinking 2 or 3, I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm not thinking I got to draft a center now.
I do.
I think you're giving the left tackle Decker an extension, so you don't need to draft a left tackle now. But I think you can get centers that can start right away, or at least if you draft a center, he can start sooner than a left tackle. I mean, because like Decker, it took him 3 years. They threw him in right away. But,
well, they had to.
Yeah, but it took him 3 years to get there.
The coaches didn't know what the hell they were
doing. And so what I'd like to see is a left tackle, developmental left tackle before a center, because it's going to take the left tackle a couple
years.
That's
why I got Christian Jones down here.
Yeah, and so, but I think he's going to come in and probably play a different position before he plays left tackle.
Well, right? You know, that's standard policy with Detroit linemen. Okay?
Exactly.
They are cross training. They are, you know, left side guard, right side guard, maybe even center.
Yeah.
You know, right and side guard, like, or what, in Skipper's case, right side tackle, right side guard.
Yeah. And so for next
or left side tackle, left side guard.
So contract wise, like for next year, you got to replace Zeitler. We're thinking because he's 30 whatever years old.
It depends on if he makes a Pro Bowl or not. Yeah. You sign that fucker again.
Yeah, but right now you're thinking, well, it's a 1 year contract, and Glasgow's a 3 year contract, and you're going to extend Decker, and so you're looking at right guard out of those three, and right now you're hoping to get more out of him.
Yeah, so, but you can't plan on that because his foot is really fucked up.
So it seems like right guard and center are the two biggest needs, not so much Glasgow and Decker, right?
You've got Glasgow for 2 more years. You got a multi-contract with
three,
him. And where's Decker at? He just got extended here, what?
They restructured him.
He's got 2 more years, right?
Yeah, okay. But they're going to extend him, probably give him
I can
two
see
more.
Decker doing that 2 years, you know, but like you said, he's getting old.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but the two most needed, I think, it would be right guard because it's a 1 year contract, and Ragnall because he's hurt.
Right.
And they're planning on giving Decker
extension. That's where Christian Jones makes sense.
Yeah, you know? We differ on where he belongs in the draft, but that's fine. You know, if he's a tackle,
if he's fallen, I don't really know because I really don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, but all right. The tackle part of it is the third necessity. I need a right guard center before I need a tackle.
Well, but you see that if you're drafting for this year, that's what you're. What
I'm
you're
drafting
doing.
Next year.
You're drafting,
I'm
next,
drafting
year.
Next year.
Yeah,
because
that's
of
where
Ragnall
we're off is because you don't think Ragnall's. You think Ragnall's still going to be here next year?
That's
your point.
That's where we're the same. Is next year Ragnall is un. We don't know what he'll be next year. I think he'll be 2 years, but the 1 year contract right now is right guard and Zeitler. That's the most important is Zeitler.
Right, but I'm not worried about Zeitler because Zeitler has been a Pro Bowler for the last.
Yeah, but it's been a 1 year contract.
1 year contract, right. You can finish his career out with 1 year contracts like Tom Brady did.
Yeah, but you can also replace him after one year if you draft him.
But if he's working out, why?
So I guess we just disagree on the offensive line completely. And this has been the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get back with you next week. Watch for Dear One Pride. Go Lions!